Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast, a quick chat. That is one inspirational idea in 15 minutes or less. Today's show is called Consciously Creating a Meaningful Life. Stay tuned for my quick chat with Courtney McDermott. She's the author of Give Yourself Permission, and she lives this power of manifesting who you are. She lives it. She writes about it in this book. And today we get this 15-minute deep dive with her on this topic. Stay tuned.
Stories are our lives in language. Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm Lori Lee, and I'm excited for our future together of telling stories, evaluating our own stories, and lifting ourselves and others to greater places because of our control over our stories. This podcast is about empowerment and giving you, the listener, ideas to work with in making your stories work for you. Story power serves you best when you know how to use it.
I'm Lori Lee.
And I'm Courtney McDermott.
And we are here today to talk about the dimensions of design. Who do you want to be? How do you dial into that? Courtney, lead us. Lead us here. How do we start figuring out who we want to be?
Right. So this was a time model that was actually a mashup of a lot of what I've seen out there in terms of just figuring out how to get on track or how to be more purposeful. Lots of people really struggle with, even when you say, what do you want? They might not know. And so I really wanted to present this model in the book as a way for people to start asking the right kinds of questions. Because lots of times we're just not asking the right questions. And if we're not asking the right questions, we're not going to get great answers. So the way the model works is it's separated into distraction. Right. So we all know those times when we're feeling distracted by something. Social media is a great example of this. There's delusion, which maybe could be your inbox. I once heard someone say that your email or your inbox is a great organizing mechanism for other people's priorities. So you might be deluding yourself into thinking what you're doing is important. Then you get into demand. Now, demand, unfortunately, a lot of people live a lot of things in demand. We shouldn't be living much of our lives in demand, because when you live in demand, it just creates havoc in your nervous system and lets off all sorts of neurochemicals that you don't want in your body. So, and then we can talk about each of these in kind, but the last one is really design. And that's when you're focused. It's funny because that's when people think, oh, that's when I'm focused on, or when they think of the bullseye, like, oh, the stuff I have to do right now. But actually the bullseye is what's important to you, but that you don't have to do right now.
Mm. So what makes it important to you then? Because it's the stuff that leads you to your goal or to who you want to be?
The question you might want to ask, because sometimes we'll say, well, I don't know what's important or whatever. But here's the thing. Here's a question that can help you identify what's important. What's that thing you've been putting off for a really long time that you know deep down you want to or need to do? But there's, again, not that sense of urgency. It's not like, okay, it's April 15th and I've got it and I absolutely have to meet this deadline, right? It's the sense of, okay, I could be, for example, if we take that example, I should be maybe setting up something for my family to make sure that if anything ever happens to me, they're all taken care of and they all have access to my accounts or whatever that looks like. And you've been putting it off because you don't have, you don't have the belief that that needs to be done right away, but you know how vitally important it is for you. So that's an example. There's so many examples like this. Maybe it's calling someone that you love. Maybe it's, oh, I would really love to write real letters to people. You know, that's something I like to do, you know, every once in a while. And we might put that off because we say, oh, well, I'll do it another time, or just not going to prioritize it. When you start prioritizing this dimension, something really bizarre happens with time. It seems to expand. So it's like,
is it because you cut out the other dimensions that this inner dimension expands?
Well, yes, and I want to be careful about that, because none of these dimensions are bad per se or wrong per se. We get a lot of heat, and we put on ourselves as well, because we say, oh man, I just spent all this time scrolling, you know, I'm bad, I should have been doing this other thing, whatever. There's a place for all of it. And really what this chapter is dedicated to is figuring out how to flip it on its head, so that instead of spending maybe the vast majority of one's time in distraction or in delusion, or even in this false sense of demand, that we actually start spending it more in this place where we are curating our own lives. So we're not allowing it to sort of be molded from the outside, but we're molding it from the inside, which harkens back to some of the other conversations we've had together on your podcast.
Okay. That's clarifying idea right there. I like that. We are not allowing our lives to be pushed forward from the outside. We are pushing our life forward from the inside. Okay. That makes sense to me, because that's what we do with intentional living. It's like you reverse engineer where you want to go so that you are focusing on the right things to get you there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does manifesting come into this?
Well, a big part about manifesting is really just where your attention is. And people don't realize this enough, because if we are putting the vast majority of our attention into just how things normally are, or we go into these dimensions of distraction where we're allowing our attention to become highly fragmented, then it's much harder to quote unquote manifest, which is nothing other than allowing the vision that you're holding to emerge. Okay. Mm-hmm. Manifestation is not about creating anything. Anything that you want is already there. Any state that you desire, it's already there. And this is a key that a lot of people miss. And this is why they think there's somehow a gap or a distance. There isn't. It is right there, present in your consciousness. The question is, how much attention are you actively giving it? How much are you actively guiding your thoughts, your beliefs, your surroundings, whatever it is, the prompts that you're giving yourself toward that vision? The more you're actually doing that, ultimately, here's the thing, the quieter your, let's say the less fragmented your attention is, the easier it is to just automatically move into those states that you desire, and to automatically create, or not create it, as I said, but rather experience what it is that what you're longing for, but you don't, again, there's no longing because it's right there. So let me give you a really clear example of what I'm talking about.
That'd be great.
Because in the end, hey, we're just a collection of particles. And one of the ways I like to explain this is through, for example, something like a magnet. Okay. Now you could take a substance that's demagnetized. What that means is that the particles are spread out in every direction. And so there's no magnetic force to it. Or you can take those same particles in that same substance, in that same, you know, physical substance, and you could put them all in one direction. You could have them all going in one direction. That then becomes a magnet. It's the exact same particles, okay? The exact same particles, but in one case, they're all over the place, and it doesn't, and the substance doesn't magnetize anything. And in the other case, they're all focused in one single direction, and then it becomes a magnet. You're exactly the same. We are exactly the same. So this power of bringing back your attention, and we could go on and on about this because I go into a lot explaining this so people can really get it in the book, but it's very simple at the same time. Just bring your attention back till that becomes your default. When that's your default and that's automatically what you believe, that's what you will experience, period. There's really no way around it. It's just like the magnet. So it's a physical law as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you talk about in the book, you mention a nonlinear force will show up to aid you in your endeavors. How does it show up? Like, what's an example of a nonlinear force showing up to help you?
Well, so for example, I'll give a good story since you love stories. So
yes.
I was recently, for some reason, I felt really called intuitively. I felt called to go to this event last year in Estonia is for Mindvalley University. Have you ever heard of Mindvalley?
I haven't.
It's pretty big online. It's big online. It's big offline. Anyway, its base is in Estonia and they do this university. And for some reason I felt like I need to be there. And so I made the effort. So I did, you know, I made the effort. I showed up, all this stuff, and I wanted to be a speaker there, but I had no idea. Again, this mixes in a little bit manifestation with efforting and with letting go. And what happened is, so I showed up for something that was important to me, even though I couldn't really reconcile the urgency of it, or, you know, even necessarily totally rationally at all why I was doing it. but I was, the efforting was there, the showing up was there. And then I got there and I call this intelligence God. You can call it whatever you want. I call it God. And so I get there and I'm talking about the intelligence that governs everything, the path of the planets, whatever it is, right? So I get there and I realize like the probabilities of me being chosen as a speaker are pretty slim. They already have all these speakers, et cetera, et cetera. And I ended up having this like conversation with God. So it's just like, hey, I don't know what this is about. I made the effort. I showed up. What's going on here? Right. And I like this because it reminds us that we can just be a little flippant about it, but like in a sweet, not even necessarily in a sweet way. I was kind of, miffed, but then the great thing was I just let go. I was just like, okay, fine. I'm here anyway. It's Estonia, Tallinn. It's a really great place. I'll discover it. And I get to see these other interesting speakers, et cetera. So I kind of just relaxed and I actually got a little goofy. And anyway, later that evening, I went to a gathering. I didn't much feel that it was my place to be. So I went back to my apartment and I just went into a deep meditation. I just aligned, like I'm talking about, with this intelligence. It was just my only intention was just to experience and feel this intelligence that courses through all of us when we're listening and paying attention to it. And even when we're not. But I was there and it was so funny because I had turned off data on my phone. I didn't have any, interruptions coming through unless it was, my daughter calling, but we'd already spoken. And I had turned off my phone. And in the middle of my meditation, what came to me was you need to turn your phone back on. You need to send a message to a client. And so I briefly thought, okay, I turn my phone back on to send a message and I get this other message that says I had been confirmed as a speaker for the next day. Now, as I said, like the probability of it, right? And like I said, this is a huge international event. It's a really big deal in the whole mind, body space and all of that. And so, but the greatest thing that I have to say, Lori, about this was, after I found out, an older version of me what it might have been all in there trying to figure out and then figure out, speech the next day, all this other stuff. But I just went straight back into that connection place. I sent the message to my client. I turned data back off on my phone. And this is, by the way, when we talk about distractions and stuff, I talk about all this, like how to start owning this and moving yourself in this direction. But I turned it all back off, Lori, and I just got with that intelligence again. I just grooved with that intelligence again. And that next day, I actually gave one of the best speeches of my whole life because I was just in that frequency. I was in that knowing, that awareness, that intelligence. That is something that goes far beyond what we're able to do as, just individual forms of consciousness. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great example. That's a really cool story. So as we close up here, will you summarize again the dimensions of design and how we design our lives on purpose, like the steps that are most important and how we bring in that manifesting so that we have the support of God and the intelligence in moving our lives forward? How would you summarize it all?
Great. So as we said, there's distraction, right? And we all know what that feels like. It's like, boof, your head's turned and you're missing what's right in front of you. There's delusion where you somehow have gotten this idea that it's important and you have to do it, but you know deep down that it's maybe not something that's really driving you forward or helping you be the person you want to be.
It's not helping you. It's something you could let go of.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's demand, which again, there are real demands. And luckily we don't need to face them all the time. I mean, if you had a loved one in the hospital, that'd be a real dimension of demand where you drop everything and you have to pay attention to it. But most of the time we're just, creating this. It's very much an illusory space that we allow ourselves to get in. Like we say, we're busy, busy, busy. I always say busy's for bees. I always say I'm never busy. I've dropped the word busy from my lexicon completely. So just notice, how you're using that too, to kind of maybe placate stuff. And then that bullseye or that centerpiece is really where you are in design. And this is where we're focused on the things that are important. Reach out to a brother and sister and tell them what they mean to you. Go for a walk in the woods. Go, whatever it is that is something that is really important for you. And I promise you that the more you actually start to direct your time this way and flip it, so you're spending way more time in that important place and way less time maybe in distraction, delusion, and demand, the more you do that, the more time you will have for everything. I mean, I live my life right now where literally I've got so much time. People always say, oh my God, you're doing all this stuff. I'm like, I have so much time. I like literally get to do all these amazing things every day. And that's how I want everyone to live. So there's that. And obviously that's when you're really quote unquote manifesting, which is really nothing other than experiencing what you know to be true for you right now, right here. You don't have to wait. You don't have to do all this stuff. You just you're becoming it. You're becoming it as you put your energy, your attention, and your focus and your intention on what it is that you really care about.
You shared a story that I'll sum up super quickly in your book about how you were rushing at work and you're at your desk and you got so much going on and you just feel like, I need to go for a walk. So you disconnect, you go for that walk. The refreshing nature of you following what you felt like you needed to do, by the time you got back, you could focus on things that you'd been putting aside. You could focus on some really important things that you hadn't been focused on. You disconnected from the inbox, you disconnected from the things and really focused on this one project, which ended up really catapulting you into bigger things with your company, making them more money, you know, creating something big here. And so it's not maybe that these smaller things are taking, they're taking you to your goal, but they're taking you to your goal in a roundabout, more productive, like focused way when you kind of tune into that inner sense of intuition, right?
Yeah. And they're so much more joyful. And that's why we're here. We're here to enjoy it all. So yeah. Thank you, Lori.
Okay. There's our timer. Woohoo! Yay! 15 minutes. Thank you all for being with us today. Courtney and I will be back in the saddle with another quickie chat in a couple of episodes because, well, we have these three topics that we were really delving into and they are so neat that I want to keep talking to her about them. So we'll be talking in the next one about how to find happiness, and that's what we're all looking for, right? So join us in a couple of weeks for that. If you like this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It is all about doing good in the world, and it's super easy to share an episode that will uplift and inspire your people. So we'll see you in 2 weeks for our next episode and in 4 weeks for our next chat with Courtney. And Courtney's information on her book and how to get in touch with her will be in the show notes at loveyourstorypodcast.com. We will see you in 2 weeks.